BFM and 1700 The Champ, a Cumulus Media station broadcasting from the now hiringiowa.com studios. Live from the capital city, it's Steen on Sports.
Welcome back in, everybody. Happy Monday. Hope everybody had a great weekend. Chilly out there today. Windy, chilly, more wind coming. Hopefully snow stays away. I know we all want snow this time of year, but man, I don't know. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ and at Steen on Sports. And Facebook is at 1700 The Champ, and the website 1700thechamp.com. All the podcasts are downloaded and they're up. You can get them on Audio Boom. You can get them wherever you listen to your podcast. Want to apologize. I was here Monday and Tuesday last week. I had Wednesday off. Thursday I had a work issue that I had to take care of later in the afternoon, and it takes priority. And then I had Friday off for a Christmas party, and I have Wednesday off this week, and then we were talking about this weekend. The Christmas party was on Friday, and you're thinking, you know, man, it's just the first part of, yeah, we're less than 2 weeks away before it's Christmas already. It doesn't seem right. So it's just crazy. Lot of things coming up on radio tonight. Northern Iowa, South Florida, 6:30 pregame. So no Monday night football here. Thursday is 49ers Seahawks. What a big game that is. It's pretty much now, and we'll talk about this much more today, but it's pretty much now every game in the NFL. If you are above 500, every game is a huge game right now. Saturday, Northern Iowa versus Townsend. They're up in the Chicago Hoops Showcase. That's at 11:30. The Ravens and Browns will be joined in progress. The Ravens at the Browns, that's another huge game, especially for the Baltimore Ravens, trying to wrap up that division. Dolphins and Bills are at 7:15 on Saturday. And then Sunday is Chiefs, Texans at noon, Giants and Commanders at 6:30. And Monday night is Rams at Packers. That also is a 6:30 pregame. So lots of stuff going on there as well. As always, want to thank sponsors of the show, Northwest Bank, Woodman Controls, Des Moines Orthopedic, Heritage Building Maintenance, Palmer Group, BetMGM, Come and Go. Couldn't do this without them. So I'm glad they're a part of the program, especially this time of year. And it's just fun to get to talk about all of them. And we'll do plenty of that today. So I was trying to think what I wanted to lead off the show with today, and I have these three statements here, and it's how I'm feeling right now after working today and listening to different things and you know, checking social media every now and then. Here's the three things I'm feeling. I'm feeling beyond excited. I'm feeling sad, and I'm feeling disgusted, and they all have to do with different parts of the sports arena and different people. So let's start with the beyond excited. Watching Brock Purdy yesterday play football for the San Francisco 49ers was a joy. And here's how I know it's a big joy as well. So this is my time to welcome in Nana and DJ. Love you guys. Love you, Nana. And my wife Jennifer and I, we're watching Brock Purdy. He's playing in the NFL. Mr. Irrelevant because he was the last, you know, last pick. And even for him, going to the San Francisco 49ers was a big deal. He was going to sign as a free agent somewhere. Other teams in the league wanted what he had to offer. Now, is he the biggest? Does he have the strongest arm? No. He's extremely efficient. And he's just a good football player. Watching his family, and especially watching his father, when he scored that rushing touchdown, and when he scored the other touchdowns. And there's tears in his, I mean, that, what possibly could you look at a situation like that and go, oh my gosh, that is some of the coolest stuff I've ever seen in my life. And I thoroughly believe that. And, you know, here's a really funny thing. So they have, the San Francisco 49ers are one of the most bizarre teams out there when you take a look at them as a whole. I mean, they have talent. They have talent everywhere. They have talent on offense, and they're willing to go get talent. I mean, you bring in Christian McCaffrey. They're willing to do the things that it takes, and they've always been that way. The DeBartolo family has always been that way. The thing that they have now with Jimmy Garoppolo, with Trey Lance hurt, and this is one of those things, and I truly believe this from listening to people before Jimmy Garoppolo got hurt again, that even if Jimmy Garoppolo would have taken him to the playoffs, if Jimmy Garoppolo would have taken him to the championship game again and won or lost, or went to the Super Bowl and won or lost, he may not have had a job with the San Francisco 49ers next year. I find that crazy, but... And the rest of the football, me included, we're trying to figure it out, right? Because there's times that he is not very good, but there's times when he's really good and he doesn't lose. Now, the issue that he has is he gets hurt. Trey Lance broke his ankle. It was a weird play. The San Francisco needs to figure out what they want to do with him, because his rookie contracts are going to end up, and that's when you want your rookies playing anymore. Didn't used to be like that either. That's another reason that football has changed. But you have someone like Brock Purdy, and the things, Jimmy Garoppolo, an awesome deep ball, and this and that. And Brock Purdy he gets the ball out quick. If you look at Kyle Shanahan and you say, okay, you have Trey Lance, you have Jimmy Garoppolo, and you have Brock Purdy, and you want to run Kyle Shanahan's office, which one do you pick first? And almost to the T, everybody today said, I'm not saying that Brock Purdy is the best of these three quarterbacks, but if you want to run Kyle Shanahan's office to its maximum level, you need someone like Brock Purdy. I think Jimmy Garoppolo holds the ball too long, doesn't make quick snap decisions. He makes good decisions. Jimmy Garoppolo's biggest problem that he has is he's been injured. Trey Lance's biggest issue that he has is he hasn't had any playing time. So you don't know what you have. I think there's a pretty big group out there that thinks that Trey Lance is better than Jordan Love. So they think that San Francisco is in a better situation than Green Bay's in. Brock Purdy coming in now they have two games worth of film, and I understand that, and I understand the whole film aspect of this. Brock Purdy has one thing that a lot of these young quarterbacks, these first time starters, your Mike Whites and your it's going to hit me here in a second, the quarterback that they just sat down, they're rookies and they have all this, the some of the things, they're not mature enough, and they're not quick enough with their decisions. That's never been Brock Purdy's issue. He's very quick with his decisions, very careful of the ball, very intelligent, all of those things. So it's going to be really interesting to see what the San Francisco 49ers do, because if you were looking at it from a football perspective, a general manager's perspective, an ownership president, all those people, having Trey Lance and Brock Purdy on your team next year and not Jimmy Garoppolo at $21, $22, $23 million, and you can keep adding to your assets on both offense and defense, that puts San Francisco in a really good spot. So we'll see what happens. So that was my beyond excited moment. My sad moment is Mike Leach, coach at Mississippi State. I got to meet Coach Leach. And got to interview him and got just to sit down. He was drinking a Diet Coke. I was having a beer. And to get to talk to Mike Leach. He is one of a kind coach, human being. He's just from a different planet when it comes to being nice and being, a little goofy and a little aw shucks. Where he's not an aw shucks guy. Not when you sit down and talk to him. He's not an aw shucks guy. He's extremely intelligent. That's just his way of getting people off his beaten path a little bit. Very sketchy, but it seems to me, and not to me, it seems from what I have read today that he had a heart attack, that there were some seizures involved as well, and possibly brain damage as well. And that makes me beyond sad, because I want him to get better. I don't need him to come back and coach if that's something that he can't do or doesn't want to do because of the stress and all that, and that's what led up to all of this. I just want him to be able to speak to people. I want him to go into classrooms and teach kids how to look at life. I want him to go into football locker rooms and teach athletes how to look at life. Take life with a grain of salt. Have a little bit of fun. I like that. And I like what he does. Our thoughts and prayers from my family, because I talk about him all the time, from this show and hopefully all involved. Everybody is looking out for him and hoping for the very best. And in times where, it may not be. The other one on the sad that I have one, I guess I had four instead of three. I just don't want to get to the fourth one yet, or the third. The other one I thought, just getting to sit back, take a time to think about Brittany Griner and coming back. And everything that has been said and done. And here's the first thing that I thought about with all of this. And I know people have such strong feelings. She has, we're in the United States of America. We're able to speak our mind. Now, it's getting more difficult, and you have to be more conscious of what you're doing. I think before I speak way more than I used to. It just used to just flow. And I try not to do that anymore because there are consequences of what you say. No matter if she was as a African-American female athlete, if she wasn't completely happy with everything that's happened in her life, I don't blame her, and I don't blame her for being able to stand up and talk about it. But with all that being said, getting accosted and getting thrown in prison in the Soviet Union for the sole purpose, and it wasn't because, yes, did she break a law in the Soviet, yes. That wasn't the reason that she was held. That's everybody standing on their little soapbox saying that. It was for a reason. If she was a pawn, and she had to go through hell. She wasn't in like a luxury hotel somewhere, and people at her beck and call taking care of her. No. And the fact that the majority of everybody has kind of left her alone and just kind of letting her try to get back into a routine of life. I mean, forget basketball, forget all of that. Just life is a daunting task, and I wish her well. Then came the disgusted part. And I think it disgusted me more just because here's another person who I've actually got to meet. I got to meet a long time ago. When we were, Tom Abeto Marco was, coaching at Drake, and there was a time that he had Chris Beard I can't remember why Chris was there. I can't remember any of that. Coach Chris Beard is the coach of the Texas, Longhorns in the Big 12. Got news about the Big 12 today too. That'll be kind of exciting to talk about here in the next couple of segments. Was arrested this morning. Third degree misdemeanor, third whatever the degree or however you choking violently to cause harm to somebody. Just in that frame, it's extremely wrong, and it shows of lack of control and a lack of control of emotions and all of that. Just being said on that. It's we don't have all the issues, but it wasn't like they brought him in, questioned him, and then let him go and we'll get back to you. They brought him in, processed him, put a jumpsuit on him, put handcuffs on him, and put him in jail. And the biggest thing that I've seen on social media, and I get it, social media, right, is, well, do you think he'll ever be able to coach again? Do you think he has the right to coach again? If any of that, to somewhat, and once again, that's not, hey, I brought you in, we have to ask you some questions, we're trying to figure out what happened. That's not what happened. There's pictures of him in a prison jumpsuit with handcuffs on. The answer coming from me is no, he doesn't get to coach basketball ever again if this is true. That is him losing control over, I don't know if it was a loved one. I don't, nobody knows what that part. But I think that disqualifies you from being a coach or a mentor or a leader of 18 to 23-year-old kids. It's a sad thing. I'm angry about it because what I know about Coach Chris Beard doesn't fit that, but we never know. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans.
Here's a look at traffic on Steen on Sports, 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Once again, happy Monday. Hope all of you had a great weekend. It's the holidays. We're getting there. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing you sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ and at Steen on Sports. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ and website 1700thechamp.com. Tonight we have Northern Iowa, South Florida, 6:30 pregame. So no Monday night football. We got the Northern Iowa Panthers on tonight. Looking forward to that. This segment is going to be brought to you by Woodman Controls. Woodman Controls is an Iowa intelligent building solution company. Provides designs, engineers, installs, programs, and services. HVAC, lighting, card access, and camera controls for the entire state of Iowa. They can fully automate your building and improve efficiency, comfort, and security. Located in Ankeny, go to woodmancontrols.com and look for various high-end employment opportunities in development, project management, field or service technicians, and many more for outstanding automation machinery manufacturing company. Had a couple of updates just popped up on my phone. It said, and I guess I can, with regards to Chris Beard, it said that his attorney says that Coach Beard is 100% innocent of these charges. He should have never been arrested. The complainant wants to drop the charges. One of the other lawyers said just because the complainant wants him released and the charges dismissed doesn't mean nothing took place. This happens frequently in domestic violence situations, unfortunately. It's a bad situation. It's a bad situation. And once again, I'm going to say this. And I understand that we all have, you know, we are a very complicated species, right? We have all kinds of feelings somewhere on their sleeve. Some you can never tell, and sometimes you get to a point where you do something that is totally not you. And I'm saying, and what I should have stated before, if everything of this is true, and the simple fact that he was taken in, he was booked and everything, means that it was more than just a simple misunderstanding somewhere. That being said, with everything, and the reason that we enjoy living in this country as much as we all should, and probably even more than what we do, show it, you are innocent until proven guilty. That doesn't mean that if something like this happened, that the innocent until proven guilty means that you can go back and you can do things that involve working with individuals. I'm sorry. I thought I had my phone turned off. I hate when I do that. Gosh darn it. You can't have that type of individual coaching young men or young women. I mean, it until something is said and done and changed or any of that, it's too risky, and they're too valuable a commodity to have something like that happen. And from what I can tell of going back through and once again, saw him, met him at a coach's clinic. Great guy. I mean, I get that. So it's just not a great situation. Okay, I haven't done this for a long time, and sometimes I don't know. Maybe I've never done this. I thought about something today because we're getting ready to celebrate a 20-year anniversary today. And when you think about that, and you think back when I tell you this individual, there is probably at no point in time that any individual athlete has ever had. I mean, the closest one I can think of would be Tiger Woods, because Michael Jordan was much older when he got to this point. But 20 years ago today, ESPN showed a high school basketball game. It was a high school basketball game in Ohio, and it was a high school basketball game in LeBron James. And it doesn't necessarily mean that it's changed, but I have two thoughts on NBA players. Actually, I have three. And they're where they're at on my Mount Rushmore. The one that I never change and never say anything any different is Lew Alcindor, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Because unlike everyone else, high school basketball, NCAA basketball, and to a certain extent, professional basketball, changed rules and changed the game because he was too good. They outlawed the dunk in college. They outlawed the dunk in high school. They tried to manipulate where he went in the pros to a certain extent. I mean, so that's always been my this is how I do this. The most fun that I had watching an individual was Michael Jordan, from the time that he was at North Carolina throughout his whole career. And it was his just determination that I loved watching him play. And he's played when he was in college, he wasn't even the best player. I mean, I'm not saying he wasn't the best player on his team. He wasn't the player that scored the most points. Or they had James Worthy. I mean, they have a Hall of Fame starting line. Sam Perkins. I mean, there was talent everywhere where he was. And then what he did in basketball, and now what he's doing as an owner and all of that. And I get back to, there are teams in high school, in college, and in the professional ranks that wear his stuff. That's how big an icon he is. So I thought, in the iconic stage of all of this, of where he went across the globe, with the Olympics and with his commercials and everything, Space Jam, all of that. No one has usurped Michael Jordan as a whole. My third one was always Kobe Bryant. I just loved the way Kobe Bryant played. And I love the fact I am so minuscule talent-wise to him that it's not even funny. But he played basketball at such a high level at the one thing that I did when I played basketball. And that's when I walked on the court, I hated everybody. And as soon as I stepped off the court, I went back to being a very loving, caring person. But man, when I'm playing something and we're playing, I don't like to lose and I don't like people. But after I do, I thought he brought a different the Mamba way. I guess that's what I'm in. He changed a lot of people's lives. Kobe did that. Michael was more quiet about that. Kobe changed a lot of people's lives. But after thinking about this today, I thought about it while I was driving around today. 20 years ago today, he's playing on ESPN. He's 17. And it's the first time millions of people have gotten to see him play, and he's never left that crescendo. It's only gotten bigger. And he's under a lot of stress because he is playing the sport at a different time when social media, and not that he doesn't use it to his advantage, but social media has changed the way that sports are covered. Michael Jordan would not be the player that maybe he was or might have retired a lot earlier if people would have always been in his business and saying everything that he was doing, and maybe he wasn't a nice guy all the time and blah, blah, blah. What LeBron James has done since that night till now is quite remarkable, might be the greatest ever, might be the greatest of all time. I think he's gotten to a point, and I think, I actually think Kareem Abdul-Jabbar might even agree with it a bit, that he has also helped his social awareness has helped people too, and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was a lot about that as well. Not as much about him, but he wanted to help other people get further in life. And I think LeBron has done that too socially. I think he's very good socially. He knows how to work the system. And then when you just take a look at his body of work, the championships, the different teams having different roles, it is going to be, because I truly believe that when in the next 10 years, when everyone looks back, I think there's going to be those four people. That is just my belief, that and those four people, because I don't think Steph Curry can get there. I think Steph Curry's in that next level down, but I think that crescendo of those four is Kareem, Michael, Kobe, and LeBron. And you have other people. You have Magic Johnson, you Larry Bird. I want to talk about Larry Bird. He celebrated a birthday, and I'll talk about him later. There's a lot of people that you can put up there, but to take four people who transcended the sport, I think that's a good four. Let me take just a second just to talk about Larry Bird. I've had people tell me that Larry Bird couldn't play in today's NBA. There's people told me that he wasn't even that good when he played with the Boston Celtics. They won five titles. He averaged over 30 points a bunch of times. He averaged double digits in rebounds. He was, and here's the thing that Larry Bird has over even Michael and LeBron and Kareem, that there was nobody more arrogant on a basketball floor than Larry Bird. The Larry Bird stories are hilarious. And I mean, it is, you can't guard me. I don't even need to take my warm-ups off to go out and win the 3-point contest. It goes on and on and on. He could have played now. He is Luka Doncic with a better passer and a better dribbler. Neither one of them play defense, so that doesn't matter. He would be perfectly fine playing in this day and age. And what he would have done in college if he'd had the 3-point line in college would have been ridiculous. But I saw that he was celebrating a birthday today too as well. So or might have been this weekend. And I wanted to bring up Larry's name as well because it is quite amazing what he did, what Magic and Larry did before Michael came. So you went from Magic and Kareem winning a championship, and then you had the 76ers and the Celtics and the Lakers kind of battling, and truly Magic and Larry is the one that started. They did this the McDonald's commercial where they were doing shots and basketball shots, playing horse all over the world and all over with basketball and everywhere. They were the first really marketable thing that the NBA had. And the reason that I always bring up Magic and Larry in this equation as well is before Magic and Larry came into the NBA, every NBA game, no matter if it was a regular season game, a playoff game, or a championship game, were tape delayed. Until Magic Johnson was a rookie playing Philadelphia in Game 7, was a live game at 7 o'clock at night, where he played center and had 42 points and 18 boards and 9 assists, and he became Magic. And the sad part about Magic is the off the court stuff that caused him to have to, you know, retire, come back, retire, and going through the whole AIDS epidemic. But he also helped change awareness in that, so that was a good thing. The sad part for Larry Bird is his back. I mean, he has a back of a 90-year-old, and he's like 62. It took a lot of his career away, and I think that's really sad. But I'd never give LeBron James enough credit, and I wanted to make sure today, being that the 20th anniversary of him playing on ESPN, he is that good. He does. I mean, he's gonna have a lot of records. He's gonna change the Mount Rushmore. Do I have to put him at the top of Mount Rushmore? I don't know. I don't know if I have to do that. Some people can. I'm close. I'm closer than I've ever been. You're listening to Scene on Sports, bringing sports your way every day, right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 Champagne, and Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. One more segment this first hour. We'll be right back.
When you're ready.
Welcome back in, everybody. Once again, happy Monday. Last segment of this first hour already. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day, right here on 1700 The Champ AM, 101.3 FM. Real sports talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ and at Steen on Sports. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ, and the website 1700thechamp.com. This segment will be brought to you by Palmer Group, providing employment services since 1998, an employee-owned company. Finding a job has always been challenging, but in 2022, 2023, it's now even more daunting. Palmer Group was founded to change the dynamic and focus on both the clients and the candidates to make lives better, make jobs easier to get and find. The company's motto of getting candidates and companies on the same page to make things happen has never been more important or challenging. Currently, over 300 jobs are open on their website at thepalmergroup.com. Jobs in accounting and finance, admin and customer service, manufacturing, information technology, and mortgage and banking. keep both the staff and the candidates very busy. Check out the website and find out what Palmer Group can do for you. Thank you very much to Palmer Group. Had some stuff in here. Cyclone Hulk, one of the guys that I follow it's funny. I'll talk about it later. It's funny stuff. There's a lot of stuff out here about Chris Beard, and I think I kind of said what I wanted to say. And listen, I understand. So that's the first thing someone said. You're always innocent until proven guilty. I get that. What I said for the fact of him getting in, getting processed, being handcuffed and being in a prison jumpsuit was that's a little bit more than, hey, we just want to try to find some facts. So it made it very interesting and that something like that, you just don't expect that. And I didn't expect that from someone like Chris Beard, who I'm not saying that I know him. I've met him and I've spoken to him and I've listened to him speak. And I, as you never do, you never understand that type of thing. It's so funny to when you do something like this, when you do sports talk radio, or you do, all these guys that are on TV, and man, there's so many people on TV. One of my favorite people to listen to and to see on TV is Emmanuel Acho, and he speaks his mind. He always has. And he always will. And he went on a pretty good rant that towards the end of last week about Tua and Justin Herbert. And the minute he started on his rant, I felt sorry for him because he's doing the thing. This would be the difficult thing about being on TV. Other than the fact that I have a beautiful face and hair for radio, is they want you to believe in your point, but they also want you to be out there, right? They want you to be that person. It's hard to do. I don't like wanting to be that person. I would have a hard time being that. Just to go out off on a deep end or a deep conversation and not believe what I'm saying. But this is what I'm going to say about Emmanuel, because this is what he said earlier. He said, I'm apologizing to Justin Herbert. Justin Herbert alone is enough. I'll be issuing an imposed ban at the beginning of his speak on FS1 today at 4:30, which has already been going on. Listen, he took a stand and said Tua is a... He said Tua is a better quarterback and is going to be a better quarterback than Justin Herbert. And as soon as I saw him, I had someone send it to me. As soon as I saw him say that, I'm like, there's the point that they don't think about. And it's the very interesting thing about when you're looking at quarterbacks in the NFL. I just talked glowingly about Brock Purdy being in the NFL, getting his chance with quarterbacks hurt, and coming out and playing really well. And I'm saying playing really well. He's not an all-pro. It may not be the something that he does for the next 15 years, but he came out and he did what Brock does. And then I'm going to use the other two. I'm going to use Justin Herbert, and I'm going to use Tua, and I'm going to help Emmanuel Acho here as well. As everybody else that's jumping on Brock Purdy's bandwagon, I'm going to help you as well. I'm even going to bring my partner, Scott, will be in here tomorrow, Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. I'm even going to bring him in a little bit too, because one thing I say, no matter what you think of your coach, no matter what you think of anything, if you're going to coach peewee football to try to coach in a Super Bowl, if you don't have a quarterback, you don't have a football team. Now, I happen to have a Baltimore Raven. I am a Baltimore Ravens fan. I have a Super Bowl without them having a very good quarterback. But they had the best defense, maybe of all time. And that does help. Here's, if I'm Emmanuel Acho, Fox Sports, I'm giving his recognition a little bit today because I'm trying to help him. When you're talking about Tua and you're talking about Justin Herbert and you're talking about what they're doing on the football field, you have to be very careful about what you do when you're talking about them. Because this is what I'm going to tell you about Justin Herbert and Tua Tagovailoa, and that happens to be my radio partner's team of choice, the Miami Dolphins. Tua and everything that they've been running this year, he has an offensive-minded coach in Mike McDaniel that has done nothing but sit and try to figure out ways to make Tua maybe not the greatest specimen of a football quarterback of all time into somebody who can really do big things. But in order for Tua to do big things, he has to have those two fast wide receivers. He has to have an offensive line that can give him 4 to 5 seconds of protection. He has to have a lot of different things. But he has a coach that's willing to sit and scheme with him. Now, yesterday, they had offensive line. We had people injured. They had people injured all over the place. Tyreek Hill, you know, hit or miss. Devontae Smith, hit or not Devontae Smith. It's Jalen Waddle. Hit or miss. And then you take a look at Justin Herbert. And I've said from day one, once again, this is helping Emmanuel. Don't let all these people come wailing on you today and say, I can't say these things about these two quarterbacks. You just have to be able to take the two quarterbacks, their two teams, and their two coaches, and their two schemes, and mix that all together and come up and say the same stuff. Because Mike McDaniel can make Tua a really good quarterback. That doesn't mean Tua is a really good quarterback. And Brandon Staley can make Justin Herbert a really crappy quarterback, even though Justin Herbert has more skills than a lot of people have in the NFL. Maybe him and five others. Justin Herbert had a great day yesterday. And when they asked his coach about his great day, I swear to you that he talked about his defense more than that. He threw for almost 400 yards. He threw passes that were amazing. I've said that same thing. I think Lamar Jackson, my guy, is the most athletic football player in the National Football League. And he has an organization that doesn't give him weapons, so he can never showcase everything that he has. I have that same thought process with Kyler Murray. I have that same thought process about a lot. I have that same thought process about Tom Brady. Tom Brady needs structure, offensive linemen, and people who can catch a football. And when he doesn't have those, Tom Brady, to be really honest, is no different than me taking 5 steps back and trying to throw. Because he's 44 years old. When you take it, I mean, I see this all the time. Well, Minnesota is fake and Kirk Cousins isn't a good quarterback. Only thing Kirk Cousins done in his whole entire life is lunch pailed in, did what he was supposed to do, had good games, had bad games, had mediocre games, and they're 10-3. And it's the end of the world because they shouldn't be there. A darling, Ryan Tannehill. Everybody likes to talk about Ryan Tannehill. Man, he is a game man. He's horrible when they don't have a running game and when they don't have A.J. Brown. We sit and we talk about these quarterbacks and we listen to people talk about them on these shows and all they do is talk about the quarterbacks. Aaron Rodgers is still a great quarterback. He has nothing to work with. If you want to see something this year and you want to look at something, look at Patrick Mahomes, who had weapons taken away. And he's having a good year, but he also has a great offensive line and he has an offensive-minded head coach. It's a big story, and it's not always just about the quarterbacks. It's the whole system.